All right, we're going to talk some more about the Word become flesh, which I started on Sunday, but I didn't get very far. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Everybody find chapter 6?
Got it.
On your little machines. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul. All of that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children, and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. And yea, though he live 1,000 years, twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? All the labor of man is for his mouth or his appetites, and yet the appetite is not filled. And that's the one we're studying. All the labor of man is for his appetites, and yet his appetite is not filled. And that even goes to the reading of the Bible, unless you see the cross. There's nothing that fulfills except the cross. But the cross has to do its fullness of its work. And that's the only way that the Word becomes flesh in us. Now, how do we do that? How does the world become flesh? The Word become flesh? And the power of God is the preaching of the cross. And so what that has to mean is that the only instrument for fulfilling you as a vessel, the only vehicle is repentance. Because other than that, you will keep doing the same thing and put God's name on it. Does anybody understand me, or am I speaking?
This is an interesting. We were just talking about, was passing a conversation about how we're the richest people in the world,
and I'm never satisfied.
Never satisfied.
Well, I tell you what. Let's go to.
I have a comment about this, and I think we were talking about last night. The preaching of the cross produces a situation to where you're in agreement with God, who sees you as, in the flesh, dead, and there's no life in you except he quickened. So the preaching of the cross, then you agreeing, you accept your death, then you're a candidate, if you want to say that, for life, which is from God.
Right, but that only comes from repentance. And that's why the preaching of the cross is so rare. Because It doesn't satisfy the flesh in any way. But when we, and it's universal, all of us do it. We like to dance around the cross.
Hold it up.
Hmm?
Hold it up. Wear it around our neck.
Well, we. Well, I tell you what. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1.
John.
The first John, but not First John. Let's start in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, it's written by John, but he's talking about John the Baptist. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Yet he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, and John, another John, another book by John says that as he is in this world, so are we. And so the whole mystery of the preaching of the cross is so that the Word can become flesh in you. And what does that mean? How does that work? It works because there's no more trying to do anything. There's only waiting on God. And that's the waiting on God alone is the instrument that, and repenting from any solution that you might come up with, even if the solution works. Remember the word strongholds, casting down strongholds? I looked that up. It's anything on which one relies. The arguments and reasoning by which one defends a position. It's the strongholds. Now, how many strongholds do we have left in our life? How many positions are we defending instead of waiting on God? Let's go to Isaiah 4. 40 or 42, one of them. Yeah. Starting in verse 28.
Which chapter did we choose?
Chapter 40, I'm sorry. Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and shall be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because the word is made flesh by waiting. That's just because it's become my favorite scripture. Let's go to Psalm 23. What's that?
That's Gary's getting
it's an affirmation
message.
Of where we're going.
He doesn't know how to turn it off. Where are we going?
Psalm 23.
Psalm 23. And let this one sink in deeply. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall never be in need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That is the test. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, you understand, he's not going to lead you if you continue walking after your own mind. It's not going to happen. And the test of whether he leads you so that this process of the word becoming flesh can work is you have to wait on him instead of leaning on your own arm of understanding in any area of your life. It's dangerous because that's the meaning of faith. Faith isn't a noun, it's a verb. And the action of the verb is primarily waiting on him.
I was just thinking that anxiety is an immediate flag to me to know that I'm not waiting on God. You know, it's like, what's the matter? Well, if there, you know, that's the problem. It's not whatever it is out in front of you. It's the fact that I'm not waiting on God. So I have to repent.
I have been getting a lot of emails from Mr. Pat Booth.
Really?
And I say, he's a good friend, but He emails me when he gives advice to other people because he said that's what Oli believes and that's what Oli teaches. And the hiccup always is, in his case, is politics. Because he is so completely involved in politics that he's convinced that is what God wants him to do. And he uses all of the issues of the temple, where they're trying to make the temple right, as a justification for regime change in countries and stuff. But the temple was for the revelation of Christ. That's why it was there. It's to teach us not to lean on our own arm of understanding or be involved or love the world or any part of it. But he can't, he can't get there. It's like, it's locked in place. But at least he gives, he at least says, well, all he teaches this other thing.
It's another option. If you look at it this way.
Yeah.
If you want to.
I hope he's listening so he can watch this.
Oh, he probably is, eventually, when this will run. All right, let's go to 1 Peter, chapter 1. Starting verse 18. For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation or vain manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers. Now remember, we've talked many, many times about, and redemption always has to do with silver as the type, and we always tend to try, or no matter what words we hear, we end up doing it is self-redemption. And self-redemption is the most common failing of Christianity, in terms of the apostate Christianity, because there's self-redemption in terms of that there's teaching on how you do stuff, how you get money, how you get saved, how you raise children, how to have a good marriage. And it's all self-redemption, as long as that's what the meaning of self-redemption is. If you're learning how to do something so that you don't have to live by faith. Yeah, everybody understand what that means?
Yeah. Waiting on God is one thing, but if you already know something to do, then you're doing it.
Yeah. Right. That's why the religion of Babylon is cause and effect. That's the religion that every knee has bowed to. It's the vain tradition received from our fathers. And it's the vain tradition that keeps us locked in Babylon. The issue, the problem is we put God's name on that. It's the same as Mr. Booth putting God's name on politics. But we put God's name on cause and effect. And it's the same thing. It's self-redemption. And God sees self-redemption as the most, the worst thing that you can do as a believer. Because it's a place of no faith. Now, how many things are you doing by self-redemption? Instead of faith. Faith is waiting on Him. Thereby, that's the vehicle by which the Word is made flesh in you. But if what you are doing is self-redemption, then the Word leaves you. You can say it's there. You can claim it's there. But it's not. Because you're still living by something other than faith. This is what will get you killed for saying. Because it's an enemy of every form of thought there is, but especially cause and effect. Is there anything that you do that isn't cause and effect? This is the crossover point. This is the only way the Word becomes flesh, is when you leave, you have to have an exodus from Babylon in the same way you had an exodus from the world. There's no way by the scriptures that you can justify anything other than faith. And anything other than faith is sin, because it's coming from the man of sin, the son of perdition, which is your mind. If you don't agree with me, say so. Show me how I'm wrong.
Just one thought was you do everything as unto the Lord. I mean, if you're not, if you're serving cause and effect, you have constant agendas and expected results. But if you're serving as unto God,
but if you can say you're doing it unto God, but if you're using cause and effect, then the words are meaningless. Question, it came from the curse.
And before.
But it's the dominant religion of the world, cause and effect. Doesn't matter whether you're any possible form of religion or even atheist, the common denominator of the world system, the religion of the world system, is cause and effect. And there's no place where that isn't taught. My God, you can say I'm doing it as unto God. You can go have wars and kill people because I'm doing it as unto God. You can't get by with that. It's what you do. It's the way you live. And Babylon is the most difficult exodus there is. It's more difficult than the leaving of the world. We left the world because we found out we weren't fit.
We got expelled from the world.
Or got expelled. But leaving Babylon, it takes a long time to see that. Just examine your life. Are you doing, is what... Is anything you're doing cause and effect? Do you understand that it's the dominant religion of the world? The religion of Babylon. And it's the whore sitting on the seven mountains of your mind, convincing you that you're a Christian. Convincing you that you're doing the Lord's work. That's her job. But faith sees that and says she's a whore. And she's having intercourse with the evil one. And everything that you think is good is in that golden cup that she has. It's powerful. And then that same golden cup is sitting on the snake, Draco. Not Draco, the other snake. But anyway, the cup is actually sitting on the snake. And it's the same stuff. It's the same thing. Everything in that golden cup is something that is esteemed by the world. This is why that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. And if you're living by that abomination, there's no way the word's going to be made flesh. You're just putting God's name on your flesh, which can't be done. This is what God wants from us, the Word becoming flesh. But it can't come, it can't happen without there being complete repentance from the world system.
Yeah, I was thinking about everybody came out of Egypt, plus a bunch of mixed multitudes, but few came out of Babylon. They chose to stay there.
The only ones that came out of Babylon, remember, all of Israel went to Babylon. And the only ones that came back were the poor and the needy. Read, that's what all of Ezra and Nehemiah are about. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. No, we don't have time.
Don't want to go over your time.
No, I don't want to. Because what I'm going to study next is going to take a lot of time. All right, I have 3 minutes and 3 seconds. Roll over.